Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Friday morning, March the 26th, 2010. My country, tis of thee. You know, this could very well turn into a rant. I hope not. I was actually going to write some things down last night and put an article together, but I was kind of tired, and so instead, I'll do this podcast and give you some things to think about over the weekend. And please leave a comment with your thoughts. I'd like to hear what you think about this, if you agree or disagree. If you think I'm nuts or overreacting, go ahead and leave a comment after you listen to this podcast. You know, like many, many people, I've been praying much for our country. Those of you who visit this blog or are subscribers that live in other countries, I'm sure you're praying for your country too. But I believe here in the United States, we live in some very troubling times. And I think it's much bigger than the health care bill that just passed. Certainly a whole lot bigger than any political party. And if you've been around this blog for any length of time, you know I love to post things that inspire and encourage and help people to have confidence in God. I'll end on that note for sure. But first, I'm going to make a point, and I thought I'd start with what I think is an appropriate analogy. A good parent does the best that they can in taking care of their children, right? They do the best that they can. And they teach them how to talk and how to walk, how to feed themselves and dress themselves, and the good parent continues to teach. Now, why is that? Well, except in some special care cases, most children eventually leave home to begin a life of their own. And when they leave home, they know more than just how to feed themselves with a spoon. They know more than just personal hygiene and how to dress themselves. Hopefully, the good parent taught them how to work and how to be responsible and self-sufficient, among other things. Now, isn't that normal? I mean, isn't that how things have been going on for hundreds of years? I mean, it's not radical to train your child to be responsible and self-sufficient, is it? And then in some cases, after being out on their own for a while, there are some who need mom and dad's help and assistance. The good parent, of course, helps them out. But the good parent never dreams of just supporting their child forever. The good parent knows that the day will come when they won't be there to take care of their child. Now, with that in mind, here's what I'd like for you to consider. I believe that entitlement breeds dependency. Dependency breeds irresponsibility. Irresponsibility breeds complacency and a lack of ambition. Lack of ambition breeds poverty and slavery. Now, you may not think that's true, but just hear me out for a few minutes. When a government continues to add more and more and more programs that provide benefits for the people, the more the people become more and more dependent upon those benefits. And over time, they not only expect those benefits, but they start demanding them. In fact, they see those benefits as their right. Becoming dependent upon receiving a benefit, you end up losing responsibility for acquiring it on your own. You believe that it's your right to have it. Someone else continues to provide it for you, and therefore, there's no need for you to acquire it on your own, is there? You know, it's like that old statement, feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Of course, then tomorrow you need to feed him again. But the line is, feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but teach him how to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. The more irresponsible a person feels to provide things for himself, the less ambition he will have. I mean, why should he work hard to excel? The things he needs are being provided for him, and a lethargic complacency sets in. What follows is slavery. Those who have no ambition, no desire to improve, no drive to expand their lives and grow and learn, will end up in poverty and slavery. Why? Well, their course has been set by their growing belief that everything from food to housing to medical attention will all be provided for them. Thus, they feel no need to grow and learn and excel and improve their lives. You know, I've heard a number of different people say that one of the problems with the housing crash here in the United States was giving out loans that they knew the people would not be able to afford. Oh, sure, they could make the payments for the first year or two, but then after that, there's no way that they would have been able to afford those houses. But at the onset, it looked really nice because, after all, everybody should have a home, shouldn't they? They shouldn't have to rent. Having a home is, why, it's your right to have a home. Do you see what I'm getting at here? And now, don't get me wrong. I've heard those who hate this kind of a message about responsibility. You know, they shout that it's heartless and not caring for those who need help. Of course there are people who need help. Many people, myself included, do what we can to help the less fortunate. But that's really not the issue here. What I'm talking to you about is so much bigger than that. As government continues to provide more and more entitlements, it not only hurts those who are carrying the ever-increasing burden of paying for it, because taxes absolutely have to go up, but it severely hurts those to whom the benefits are going to. Now, you may disagree, but how does it really help someone to lead them on a path of not taking responsibility for themselves? We don't raise our kids that way, do we? Well, I hope not. It's sad but true, some kids grow up that way, always looking for a handout, a freebie. How can I get something for nothing? But think about it for a minute. As taxes go up, and with the health care bill, there's going to be people who might have some insurance that doesn't meet the government standard or requirement, and they will be forced to pay more. So the taxes go up. They're going to pay more for their insurance than they're paying now. Many people will find themselves in that situation. So what they make, what they earn, what they've worked for so hard is going to be stretched. It's not going to go as far. It'll be stretched even more than it is today. Now, that means they have less to spend in the community. They suffer loss, the local economy suffers loss, and those who are carrying the burden of paying for entitlements, the ones that suffer the most, when you really look at it honestly, are the middle class. And as a result of that burden, many of those will fall by the wayside. They'll move from being productive citizens to those needing assistance. You know, Thomas Jefferson said once, "A government that's big enough to give you everything is big enough to take everything away from you, too." I really believe our country's at a point of crisis. Every reliable source I have heard or read agree that there's no way possible to pay for all the authorized spending our lawmakers have enacted so far. And they're promising even more spending to come. Yes, of course, the healthcare system needs fixed. There's no argument there. Of course it does. But the price tag for the so-called fix from our lawmakers is really a road to disaster. Some are predicting that health insurance companies will be out of business in 2 years. But that's exactly what many lawmakers have said that they want, believe it or not. They want our government to control it all. Do you really believe that they can? Do you really want your government involved in those very private and personal matters? But the bill passed, and that's what's coming. And I'm just so amazed that in a recession that we're going through, our lawmakers have battled for the past 14 months about health care. Yes, of course, it needs fixed, but is it really the number one priority right now? I mean, think about it. What if lawmakers for the past 14 months would have put all their energy and all their talents together to find solutions for the unemployment, solutions to find jobs, solutions for the housing crash, solutions for the national debt? What if they would have spent those 14 months working hard, working together, not fighting with each other, but working together to bring the solutions that are really crucial right now? You see, that's why I think we're at a very serious juncture. And these are my opinions. This is just what I think. But I'll tell you something, and I don't believe I'm alone in this. Our country needs God's help. And I don't care if that sounds old-fashioned to someone. I don't care. I believe our country was founded on solid biblical principles, and many of those are being blatantly attacked. I don't believe that our nation can survive. I don't believe our nation can withstand without God's helping hand. There's a man by the name of David Muren who wrote a book called Breaking the Code of History. And in an interview recently, he said the following, I think sometimes long-term history impacts the now, and we're in it like a schism, like two tectonic plates that suddenly shift after 100 years of energy building up. And that's really the end of the Western Christian Empire. It's bigger than the British Empire, the American Empire. It's the sum of all the Christian empires for nearly 900 years. And America is the last one. And when the last one changes and declines, which it's in, it will be very rapid. And it's the end of the whole system. I don't know, but I think I might have to buy that book and read it just for my learning. Remember the children of Israel after leaving Egypt? At every turn, they wanted to go back into slavery. You know, oh, we need to go back into Egypt. We had it so good there. We were slaves. God wants people to be free. God did give all people certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, we have a right, a God-given right, to pursue our own happiness. We don't have a God-given right to be happy. We have the God-given right to pursue our own happiness. And so there are two things with the state of affairs that are going on in our country of the United States right now. There are two things that I think we can all do. Number one, I urge you to pray for our country. And of course, if you're visiting this blog from other countries, same goes for you too. Pray for your country. Pray and ask God to raise up men and women with integrity who can honestly legislate with wisdom and at the same time uphold our Constitution. And secondly, believe that our God is a personal God for you. Despite what happens in our country or in the country you may be living in, our God is still God Almighty. And He is a personal God. He can and He will help you. He can help you to make the decisions that you need to make for you and your family, solutions that are unique for you and for your situation. You see, we all need to trust our God, look to Him for help and direction, and trust Him to lead and to guide. I'm thankful we still have this on our currency. No one knows how long it will stay on our currency, but thankful that it still is, in God we trust. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we need to do today, is have trust in our God to provide for us, to give us the wisdom that we need, to show us, to give us direction. Our God is a very personal God. My country, 'tis of thee. God has blessed this country of the United States for many, many years. And I know there are those who deny that God has blessed this country, people that deny that there's even a God. There are those who deny that our country was founded on solid biblical principles from the Bible. Fine. You know what? Anyone can believe whatever they want to believe. But for those of us who love God, for those of us who know how kind our God has been, for those of us that can recognize God's great mercy on this nation, and Lord knows we all need mercy, and our God has been a God of mercy on this country of the United States, for those of us that know our God is a loving God, let's make an effort to petition our God more than we ever have before. And secondly, let's trust Him for our personal affairs. Well, that's it for this podcast. Wasn't too big of a rant, was it? I hope you found this helpful. I hope you found it eye-opening, maybe, inspiring, and encouraging. And I want to hear what your comments are about what you think, about where you think things are in our country. And if you're from a different country, then go ahead and leave a comment about what's going on in your country and how you too can pray for your country, for God to raise up men and women, and how you also can pray and trust God to help you in your own personal life. And don't forget, if you're a subscriber to this blog, well, then you don't have to bookmark the site and you don't have to check and see if I posted something new. Every time something new comes up, it'll be delivered right to you. It doesn't cost you anything to subscribe either, whether you do it by email or RSS. And if you do subscribe, as my way of saying thank you, I'm going to give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information below. Well, some things to maybe think about over the weekend and maybe spend a little extra time in prayer this weekend. And, you know, as I said before, we all need to maybe invest more time than ever in prayer, in petitioning our God for our country and going to God to have Him help us with the things in our own personal life with personal solutions. So, thanks for listening. Till next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have yourself a great weekend.